Good morning. As you are aware, we have a pandemic not only in our country, but also throughout the world. That is a physical pandemic. We also, for some time, have had a spiritual pandemic, not just in our country, but especially in our country. And that pandemic is known as divorce, the breaking of marital bonds that God is responsible for joining together. The title of our lesson today is significantly important. I'm talking about the title. This is not what Billy teaches on divorce. Well, it is, but it is because this is what Jesus teaches on divorce. Jason, thank you for an excellent reading of the text that is one of the most familiar, but has been one of the most studied in terms of trying to find out exceptions in addition to the exception that the Lord Himself gives in verse 9. Ron was reflecting a few moments ago upon the date of his baptism and that particular era of time. I grew up a bit after that, but in the years of my youth, like so many of you, divorce was almost unheard of. It was especially unheard of in the Lord's church, generally speaking. Now, even during that particular time, basically the decade of the 50s and the 60s, my mother would say even then, you know, you don't have to look very far to find a case of divorce in any family. Well, I would think about that for a little bit because there were families that I knew and loved and did not know of a case of divorce, and yet, if you knew enough, there would probably be a case somewhere down the line. Where all of that changed was about the time that I came to FHU as a student. I began receiving word back from home about people that were breaking up right and left, and it was not boyfriend, girlfriend, husband and wife, some of which 25, 30, 35 years. And what was happening was, in our country, we had a severe change over a course of time of divorce laws in our courts to now where we have no fault divorce. It's not anyone's fault. There's just a disagreement that cannot be rectified, and therefore the marriage is dissolved. What we have today is a call back to God's original intent that has not changed. Remember that whatever the topic is biblically, the words from Matthew 24:35 come ringing back to us. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will not pass away. I want us to notice, first of all, the context of this story. Jesus had completed the practically three-year Galilean ministry with great distinction, teaching, preaching, and healing. And now he makes his last journey down on the east side of the Jordan River, crosses the Jordan into Judea, in the area where John the Baptizer had earlier been baptizing, including himself. And he is confronted as he is on the way to Jerusalem to be nailed to the cross for the sins of the world, including each of us, confronted by a sect among the Jews known as the Pharisees, who believed that they had all the answers and that they had all the right answers, but they could not answer this particular man on anything they had tried before. And so notice the text says the Pharisees came to him testing him. There was already a great debate among the Jewish people because of a couple of earlier prominent rabbis. One named Shammai, who was very conservative, who said that the only reason for divorce would be sexual uncleanness on the part of a mate. And then there was a rabbi who obviously was influential far more, by the name of Hillel, who said, no, A man can get a divorce for any reason at all, even if his wife says something derogatory toward her mother-in-law. Now, who in the world would not have done that? So divorce was incredibly common in the day of Jesus. But I want us to notice this trap question that Jesus could not be entrapped. When you're looking at Jesus, you're looking at the embodiment of 100% truth. Even that is a redundant expression, because if something is true, it's 100%. So you're looking at the embodiment of truth, truth in the flesh, and you cannot trap him. So he could have just said, no, it is not lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any reason, or for a wife to divorce her husband for any reason. Now, in our pandemic of 21st century world and America, yes, there is a reason, any reason will do in the courts, but not the court of God. And that is why that you're here and why we're here worshiping today. And again, going back to just what the Lord does, notice this fantastic response. Could have said no, but he calls them back to Genesis chapter 2. Have you not read? As if you should know the answer to this question. Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave or hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh? Have you not read that? What God has joined together, let not man separate. Very quickly, there are four things in these three verses that tell us what Jesus is saying is there is not divorce approved of God for four different reasons. Number one, he has created us male and female. One man for one woman for life, with the exception of one item that he mentions in verse 9. That's the first thing. God has made us one man, one woman. Number two, this text also says, a man shall leave father and mother and hold fast. Cleave is the term that we're accustomed to older, the meaning of which means glued. Glued to one another. Really, there's the idea here that you are stuck to one another. And I've heard people say, I've been stuck with this guy for 40 years. And that's not the idea of stuck at all. That's somewhat being jovial. It's not a bad stuck in the eyes of God. It's not a sad one. It's a good stuck. We cleave to each other. Number three, the reason for that is we're one flesh. There is no oneness outside the marital intimacy of this relationship that can possibly compare to the intimacy and the oneness of a man and his wife. This is by design. This is the way the Lord set it out. Number four is, with God doing the joining, man has absolutely no authority to separate. And the word separate there from the text could very well be translated divorce. So, what God has joined, man does not have the authority to divide. Now, right there is the cause of our pandemic, is because we have human courts, not divine courts. Of all places where you would expect to find the divine truth, the divine court, it would be in the Lord's church. So the conflict continues. Why then did Moses command a certificate of divorce to send her away? They're referring to Deuteronomy 24:1, but if you look at that text very carefully, it is a text that is to protect the innocent party in a marriage where there's been an unfaithful partner, not the guilty party. There is no discrepancy between the teaching of that text and everything else that we find on the subject in the rest of Scripture. It's a fascinating text. The Lord says, well, it's because of your hardness of heart. You were not willing. Really, it was for the protection of wives. It was for the protection of women. Because there were many men who would actually kill their wives if they wanted to get rid of them. And so because you were not willing to open your heart and your mind and your very soul to the will of God, God permitted it. But here's the key. From the beginning, it was not so. And the Lord never relaxes. And you cannot appeal to the Apostle Paul later. He doesn't relax either. What was from the beginning? I thought it interesting that Ron also commented how that 67 years ago seems like yesterday. I now can identify almost with that. I mean, life is so fast. What was from the beginning, God intended forever. And so he comes to verse 9. I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality, if one of the partners is unfaithful to the partner sexually, becomes involved with someone else sexually, and that would be male or female, then marries another, commits adultery. Well, what is adultery? Adultery is an unlawful union in the eyes of God. It is an ongoing state as long as you are in that union. And so from that particular statement, we draw these conclusions. Applying it to our contemporary application, number one, there is no question that the whole idea of marriage originated in a fantastic, generous, magnanimous heart that has given the rest of us a heart, and that is our Maker. Marriage is a gift from God. Therefore, the dissolving of a marriage can only be approved by God. Number two, the only reason that Jesus gives in this passage or in other passages for divorce is sexual unfaithfulness. And if divorce is granted otherwise, it's not approved of God. Most people go to the courts and will quote irreconcilable differences. We never find that in Scripture. It used to be the case that when someone got a divorce back during the time period of my youth, you had to go to court and prove the unfaithfulness of your partner before a judge would allow a divorce to happen. All of that changed with the liberalization of divorce laws like they were happening in other parts of the world. A marriage that is unapproved of God, of course, or a divorce that is unapproved of God, causes a remarriage that would be adultery. What is adultery? An unlawful union not authorized by God. Number three, anyone who marries one from an unapproved divorce is living in adultery, that is in the act of adultery, which is an ongoing sin. They're living in sinfulness in the eyes of God. Some want to make adultery a one-time offense, but it's almost like, well, really, it's not almost, it's like any other sin. If I persist in lying, and I may be doing everything else well, I am a liar. And in the eyes of God, that may even be even more important, if possible, than the union of husband and wife. And so, what are we going to do? To repent of that sin, one would have to leave the adulterous marriage. This is what John the Baptist meant when he told King Herod Antipas. This would lead to John's execution. It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. In the eyes of God, she is your brother's wife, your brother Philip. And you see, when people take the drastic measures that particular Herod took, justifying what they really want, rationalizing otherwise. This is when we try to look for sources other than the Bible, or maybe some who have a more open view of the Bible, or whatever people want to say, other than what does the Lord say? The church is a place that is for beginning again, if there is a place on this planet. It is a beginning again for the cleansing of one's soul. Yes, there are circumstances in life where one may enter a divorce from a marriage that does not permit them the opportunity to remarry. Verse 9 says, remarriage is available to those who have been faithful in their relationship and their partner has not. But even then, there is the possibility that that person can repent who has been unfaithful and be forgiven by their mate and a marriage saved. Even that would be the ideal in God's sight rather than the breaking of a bond that he originally established between them. We have a great ministry. We have a great opportunity to show the greatest love and regard for anyone and everyone who is going through any difficult situation or relationship in life. That has long been the position of this church. I believe it's the position of the church worldwide generally. We want to be as compassionate and we want to be as caring and we want to be as loving as the Lord Himself is. And yet we do not want to mitigate the teaching of the Lord in once again language that is pretty clear, pretty plain, pretty simple about what constitutes marriage, what constitutes divorce, what constitutes remarriage, what is approved and what is not approved. So as we think today about our response to the Lord, we may all here be at different places. We have those who are very much anticipating and looking forward to marriage. And I've not really known of anyone looking forward to being married who's anticipating being divorced eventually. But when that happens, we again return to the Lord, and He blesses us, and He helps us, and He sustains us if we will continue to follow the simplicity and also the profundity of His will. We sing today to encourage anyone who needs to respond publicly, not just in response to this particular encouragement today, but to whatever there may be in our life that needs to be repented of. In fact, we're not forgiven people in the eyes of God until we've turned all of our sins and all of our life, all of our soul over to Him, and our sins are washed away by being baptized into Christ. Can adultery be forgiven? Absolutely. But it has to be forgiven in the way in which the Lord teaches. And that requires many more lessons than just a simple overbrief today of this overview. But as we think about responding to the Lord, let's do so in faith, let's do so in love, let's do so with the desire that we do not want anything in this world to keep us from one day being with the Lord and each other in heaven. And so if you're ready to be baptized into Christ, or you're ready to come back to the Lord needing prayer for any reason, not just what we're talking about today, but for any reason, we seem to encourage you as we stand together.